Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
China is shifting its relationship with the U.S. We'll explain what that could mean for the Biden administration.
The years when China can be pushed around by any country, especially the United States, are over. That's basically the message Chinese diplomats have told us.
Plus, after a fatal shooting, President Biden urges peace in Minneapolis. And salary negotiations can be tricky. The Wall Street Journal has a new way to chat about it. It's Monday, April 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. President Biden met with top officials and senior executives from Ford, General Motors, Intel, Alphabet, and others today to discuss the global semiconductor shortage. He touted his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan, which includes $50 billion for the American semiconductor industry. That would go toward building factories and research and design, and has bipartisan support. Chips are used across industries, but supply has dwindled with growing demand for products as COVID-19 has shifted work and consumer behavior. The mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul have declared states of emergency and set curfews after looting, protests, and clashes last night in the wake of a police-involved shooting in a Minneapolis suburb. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is also implementing curfews in the surrounding counties. Brooklyn Center police say Dante Wright, a 20-year-old black man, died after an officer appeared to accidentally shoot him during a traffic stop. Speaking at the White House earlier today, President Biden urged people to wait for a full investigation.
Peaceful protest, understandable. And the fact is that, you know, we do know that the anger, pain, and trauma that exists in the black community in that environment is real. It's serious and it's consequential. But it will not justify violence and or looting.
There was already tight security in the city for the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who is accused of murdering George Floyd. Earlier today, Chauvin's defense lawyer made a motion to sequester the jury and ask them if they felt they could render a fair decision after a night of unrest. The judge denied the request. Financial technology giant Ant Group is bowing to Chinese regulators' directive that it apply to become a financial holding company overseen by China's central bank. The reorganization of Jack Ma's company follows a regulatory assault on his business empire, including suspension of the company's IPO last November. Ant owns the ubiquitous mobile payment and lifestyle app Alipay, which has more than a billion users in China, handles trillions of dollars in digital payment transactions, and has offered unsecured short-term loans to roughly 500 million people. We'll have more on Ant's reorganization and what it means on tomorrow morning's show. Microsoft has agreed to acquire Nuance Communications, a speech recognition company, for $16 billion, making a further push into health technology. Our reporter Aaron Tilley has the details.
Nuance has a lot of different types of users, but one big growth area for the company is healthcare. This is a big area where sort of clinical documentation can be done using Nuance's technology. So it can, if you go to a doctor's office, a doctor can speak to Nuance and Nuance will be able to understand and interpret their doctor lingo, their healthcare lingo, and it's very specialized in that way. And so that is a very key area of growth for Microsoft in its cloud. And it's just a huge area for just technology consumption in general as a lot of healthcare moves to more digital cloud kind of operations.
Uber is seeing a surge in business. The company says it had more bookings for rides and food delivery last month than in any single month since its founding in 2009. The company's ride-hailing operation suffered during the pandemic. Now Uber says there are more rides than drivers available. The company says it's spending $250 million on bonuses to attract more drivers in the near term. Coming up after the break, China has a new world view. How that will impact U.S.-China relations.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
It's no secret that the relationship between the U.S. and China was complicated during the Trump administration. After both sides fought a two-year trade war to a wary truce, the U.S. president blamed Beijing for unleashing the coronavirus. China rejected the charges. But throughout it all, China was careful not to challenge the U.S. as a global leader. Now, the government seems to be taking a different approach. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal senior China correspondent Lingling Wei. She is the co-author of the book Superpower Showdown. Hi, Lingling. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Lingling, what can you tell us about China's shift in approach to the U.S. under the Biden administration?
After President Biden won the election, the Chinese side did harbor some hope that, you know, things might have been different, right, with the new administration. And some Chinese officials and Chinese academics did reach out to their U.S. peers, U.S. counterparts, and try to figure out if there would be any change of in terms of tone, in terms of policy toward China. And they soon got very discouraged. You know, the message really was, you know, there has been a bipartisan consensus in Washington that this tough on China policy should continue. And that's what basically Biden administration has done so far. So that really reinforced the belief in Beijing that the United States is no longer a reliable partner, and they totally just have given up the hope that relationship would get any materially better anytime soon. At the same time, there's this sense of triumph in Beijing. As you know, that, you know, China obviously was the first country that got hit by the coronavirus pandemic. But so far, they have done a good job of keeping things under control. And China's economy has been rebounding strongly. In comparison, what's happening in America has been one crisis after another. So there's really a sense of triumph in Beijing. The top leadership does feel like as if, you know, China is, you know, catching up to the U.S. in a very dramatic fashion. They no longer feel like they want to look up to the U.S. anymore. They think themselves as the equal of the U.S.
So explain how we're actually seeing this shift in practice.
So for decades, Chinese leaders really took care not to challenge the U.S. as a world leader and followed the dictum former leader Deng Xiaoping said decades ago, which is keep a low profile and bide your time. Obviously, back then, China was still a very poor country. So the very top priority was really to develop the economy. Nowadays, you know, the tone has completely shifted. What Mr. Xi is talking about these days is China can already look at the world on equal level. So that's the remark he made right before his diplomats went to Alaska to meet with the American counterparts. That remark was also widely interpreted in Chinese media as a declaration that China no longer looks up to the U.S. So guided by that kind of slogan or, you know, declaration, China's foreign policy definitely has become much more assertive, much more aggressive. You know, the years when China can be pushed around by any country, especially the United States, are over. That's basically the message Chinese diplomats have told us. So what that translates in practice is that you're seeing basically across the board, China and the U.S. are engaged in some sort of competition.
So how is this approach playing out across different areas where the U.S. and China have butted heads?
Up until recently, the hardline approach China adopted toward the U.S. was really limited in a few areas. What we're seeing now is basically across the board kind of hardline approach from China. They no longer would soften any of their approach on any of the areas we are seeing in technology front, we're seeing in economic arena, and we're seeing in, you know, some of the issues that Beijing considers part of their core interests. I would say these days, the issue involving Taiwan is really emerging as one of the biggest challenges for the U.S.-China relationship going forward. If not handled well by either side, that could very much likely trigger some kind of conflict of sort going forward.
Geopolitically, how are we seeing this playing out in terms of competition for allies?
The competition for allies definitely is heating up. We have seen that the U.S. is actively courting allies in Japan, other Asian countries, and Europe. We're seeing China is definitely trying to form alliances with Russia. The Chinese foreign minister just went to Middle East and signed a very big security and economic agreement with Iran. However, you know, many countries, for example, India, they really, you know, want to try to avoid the situation where they have to pick sides, because for those countries, both the United States and China are very, very important. You know, some countries really rely on the United States for security reasons, but they also don't really want to offend the Chinese too much as to that they lose access to China's market. However, they also do share some of the values championed by the U.S., such as, you know, human rights and democracy.
Lingling, what are the risks of China's new approach, and might it in any way improve their relationship?
Well, it takes two to tango, right? Obviously, there are risks for both sides, this very competitive relationship. You know, as one official told us recently, you know, if you compete basically in every arena, how would you expect to have a stable relationship? I would say that there are risks that both sides could overestimate their leverage and underestimate each other's strengths. From China's perspective, no doubt China's economy is bouncing back strongly. You know, China is catching up to the U.S. economically, militarily, technologically. But however, you know, there are still many, many internal economic problems within China. And the very hardline approach, the biggest risk is that, you know, they overshoot. They think they're really in a strong position and, you know, either retaliate in a way that's totally unnecessary that further push other countries into the U.S. orbit. That's really a very big risk for the very top leadership.
That's Wall Street Journal senior China correspondent Lingling Wei. Lingling, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Finally, today we have a bit of service journalism for you. Companies are hiring again, but talking about salary expectations can be tricky, especially during a recovery. Well, the Wall Street Journal's innovations team has created an interactive chatbot that takes on the role of a friend who works in human resources. Our reporter Deborah Acosta says they've set up the chat with Taylor, that's the friend, so people can practice those uncomfortable salary negotiations.
One criticism that chatbots often get is that they feel robotic, right? You don't want to feel like you're talking to a computer. You want to feel like you're talking to your friend. And so we really put a ton of effort into making it extremely conversational so that it feels like you're actually talking to someone that's going to help you through this. Somebody that you know, somebody that you trust, and also somebody that has the experience to give you the right answers.
You can meet Taylor and chat on our website, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.